And I wish some of your dozy mates in the media had got a fix on their job and started being reporters and journalists, not editorialists and analysts, which they're not qualified to do. Prison company accepted, of course.
The Wire.
A brief warning that this next story contains multiple mentions of suicide. If you want a break from that is no stress, the story will likely be finishing at about 12:37, 12:38. A new Ipsos study has revealed that 3/4 of New Zealand's youth has experienced immense mental distress and 40% have seriously considered self-harm or suicide over the past year. This issue isn't only taking place for young people, though. 61% of people between the ages of 35 and 49 said that they were stressed to the point that they could not cope, and 30% reported feeling suicidal. With Aotearoa holding one of the highest youth suicide rates in the world, the Mental Health Foundation says that the current system is in crisis and urgent action needs to be taken. I spoke to the Mental Health Foundation CEO, Sean Robinson, about the Ipsos survey and what needs to change in Aotearoa to improve our rates of suicide.
Yeah, it's really in a state of crisis, we believe. The level of distress amongst young people has been increasing for 2 decades or more. And there's been really no adequate response coming from government to that. Certainly under, you know, the John Key government did pretty much nothing in that space at all. And I think the Jacinda Ardern-led government, while it has done some things, it has not really taken a comprehensive approach, hasn't followed the advice of its own the inquiry into mental health that it funded. So it failed to really follow the advice of its experts, even though it said it was going to. And, you know, really we have a very inadequate response to mental health, full stop, and mounting distress amongst young people and, in fact, amongst most New Zealanders.
What this distress does lead to is a heightened rate of suicidal ideation and, in some cases, suicide itself. We know that New Zealand has one of the highest rates of teen suicide within the world. What has led to such high rates of stress and suicidal ideation in New Zealand specifically?
Yeah, look, number one, we are not alone in this, sadly. Many countries around the world are struggling with exactly the same problems. In general, New Zealand's suicide rates are about the middle of the OECD. Our rates for young people tend to be right up there in the sort of worst countries. And there are a range of factors that impact on that. You know, everything from racism and inequality and the large youth populations that we have in Māori and Pacific communities, which we know are massively disadvantaged by colonisation and racism. The rapid changes in the environment in which young people are living, issues like climate change, issues like inequality and poverty, poor housing. All of those things are impacting on young people. This is in a time when we've just had an ongoing inadequate response to mental health for decades. So, yeah, I think young people are really bearing the brunt of this. And COVID-19 has, of course, ratcheted up that pressure. But, you know, we could see this trend mounting well before that. The last Youth 19 survey, the last survey of young people's health and well-being, published in 2019, showed a doubling of mental distress in the previous 10 years for young people. So, you know, this is not something that can be blamed just on this government or just on COVID-19. What we're really concerned about is that no government, national-led, Labour-led or whoever, has ever really addressed mental health properly in New Zealand. So we are coming massively from behind, and the crisis, the rolling crisis of people's mental health and well-being is now, you know, of such proportion that it needs an urgent response. And we're very concerned that we think you know, despite good intentions, this government is continuing to essentially fiddle around at the edges rather than take a comprehensive response. And we're really concerned that whether it's Labor or National or whoever else might lead the next government after the 23 election, that unless politicians really get their head around what is going on in mental health, the nature of mental health, the size and scale of the issues, and the sort of integrated comprehensive approach that's required to address it, then our next government will probably just do more of the same tinkering, and we'll be quoting even worse statistics in another couple of years' time.
Yeah, even with oftentimes, as you said, this tinkering, when people have spoken to people like the health minister before, oftentimes the focus is placed on the infrastructure that we have currently. So I think we should start there in terms of how we can improve the system in New Zealand, because what we have right now, things like hotlines, oftentimes have disengaged counsellors, also via wait times. Counselling can be incredibly expensive. Our support spaces can be unfulfilling, if not ineffective. How can we change the services that we have right now to be more effective?
Yeah, look, I think there are a lot of things that can be done, and there's been a lot of sort of quicker wins that have been missed. So, for example, there are good examples where peer-led services are having really positive impacts, you know, where people who have lived through times of significant distress themselves and may even, like me, be living with an ongoing mental health issue, and I myself live with bipolar. Now, people who have been through or going through those sorts of issues have a lot of in-depth insight into how to manage that, how to cope with that, and can support people in whatever treatment or recovery that they need. Now, the progress on expanding the peer workforce has been, you know, glacially slow, really, and there's a great deal of resistance still within the health system to kind of non-traditional professionals. Very similar in terms of Māori and Pacifica models of service. You know, we are starting to get small amounts of change, but far too slow. But, you know, look, there are definitely things that can be done in existing services, but we have to put this in the context of the fact that about 1 million people a year will experience mental distress that could be diagnosed as a mental illness. Now, that's not the latest figures from Ipsos. That is actually the figures from the Ministry of Health that were quoted in the mental health inquiry. Now, when you realise the scale of that issue, you realise that we will never have enough services to meet that need. And this is the crazy fallacy that our politicians keep falling into, that they desperately try to line up more ambulances at the bottom of the cliff while there are so many people tumbling over the cliff that, you know, we will never have, you know, enough services to meet those needs. So, yes, of course, we must work on services. You know, I myself, when I've been, you know, unwell, services are very, very important. So we need those ambulances, but we also need to be reducing the steepness of the cliff. You know, we need to be addressing the issues that cause so much mental distress. And they are, you know, very practical things like housing, like a fair and equitable economy so people can earn a decent living. They are addressing things like racism, homophobia, bullying, those things that drive people's trauma. So we need to reduce the steepness of the cliff. And then we also need to be giving people the skills, the encouragement, the knowledge to, you know, to stay away from the edge of the cliff. So the Ipsos research said, you know, 73% of young people experience stress to the point where they feel they can't cope for, you know, a period of 2 weeks or more. Now, we're not going to solve that by suddenly trying to create thousands of services, which we just can't do. You know, we need to be equipping young people with the skills to be able to manage those kind of really difficult situations in their lives. again, the Ipsos research said the three key drivers of people's mental distress were, you know, their financial situation, their relationships with family and friends, and the amount of sleep they're getting. None of those things can be fixed by a counsellor or by a helpline or by medication. You know, they are all aspects of your social and economic situation and aspects of the kind of skills and behaviours and tools you have as a person to cope with the things that life throws at you. Now, that is what the inquiry said. It said do three things: reduce the things that cause mental distress, promote well-being amongst the community, and build up services. And it's only by doing all those three things at once that we will have any chance at all of creating, you know, good, positive mental health amongst our citizens.
Why is this so urgent, and how can we make that urgency followed through hasteful action?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's urgent because, you know, we see figures like the ones that have been produced, you know, this week. And I know, you know, there's been some comments by people within the government that the Ipsos research, you know, trying to undermine its credibility, even though Ipsos is a global research company and has done this in 34 countries. But even if you took the Ipsos research aside, the government itself produced research last week with the New Zealand Health Survey that showed that 25%, nearly one in four young people, experience, you know, extreme mental distress. So that alone should be enough to be really throwing some urgency into the situation. But, you know, what we have is we have no real plan for how to address this. And, you know, that's what we at the Mental Health Foundation find particularly frustrating, that nearly 4 years on from the mental health inquiry and the wellbeing budget, where the government said, yes, we agree with this inquiry, we accept 38 of the 40 recommendations, there is no plan for how they're going to put that into place. They keep making plans about making plans. You know, they've now restructured the health system, and they're kind of saying, well, the health system's going to be responsible for putting those recommendations into place. But it doesn't say how or when. It doesn't say how many different types of staff we're going to train over how long, you know, what we're going to do to promote mental well-being skills in the community, you know, what we're going to do to try to address some of those drivers of mental health. There is no detail in it at all. And, you know, therefore, we really are losing confidence that this is ever going to happen, because when we look at history, what happens, it happened in the 90s, there was a mental health inquiry. The government at the time picked a few bits of it and put them into place and wanted to get lots of kudos for doing that. The actual leader of that inquiry was actually, you know, very angry that they'd only cherry-picked the agenda. Well, that's what they're doing again now, 20 years later. And in each case, unless you actually do the full comprehensive response, you're not going to get a solution. We're just going to get this systematic worsening of the mental health and well-being of our nation. You know, the good news in the research is that New Zealanders are more willing to talk about mental health. They're more willing to reach out for support. And I guess the other good news is that regardless of governments, there are a range of organisations in the community that just get on and do the things that need to be done. And, you know, there are the schools programs that are showing really positive results, teaching young people the skills to manage their emotions and their well-being. There are programs in the community, you know, where farmers are really buying into things like this. You know, that Rugby New Zealand has got a program that's about injecting, you know, mental health and well-being into the rugby community through coaching. There are just examples where people are doing this because they know it needs to be done. So, yeah, it's frustrating as hell that the government doesn't have a plan and doesn't get on board in a thoroughgoing way. But, you know, people like the Mental Health Foundation and many others are just going to keep on keeping on doing what we can to actually build the well-being of New Zealanders.
That was Sean Robinson, the CEO of New Zealand's Mental Health Foundation, speaking about reports on suicidality and distress in Aotearoa. If you're in need of help or need someone to speak to, you can talk to a friend, your GP, or one of your loved ones about how you feel. You can also free call or text 1737 at any time. Reach out to Lifeline at 0800 543 354. That was 0800 543 354. You can also find resources on support and wellbeing from MHF's website at mentalhealth.org.nz. Hope that everyone listening knows that they aren't alone, they're loved, and they matter.